let me take you down, 'cause I'm going to Strawberry Field. Welcome to the Best of Strawberry Fields Radio. Part 2, The Bullshit.
State-of-the-art graphics. Loud noises. And no thinking required. This is Fucked News. If you want the real story, then get fucked.
Hi, I'm Bill O'Reilly. Thank you for watching. Bias in college football. That's our top story tonight. Now, as many of you may know, Arkansas played LSU last weekend. At the end of the game, Arkansas had scored 50 points, LSU had scored 48. So, Arkansas were declared the winners. You would think that would be the end of the story, right? But here at Fox News, we give you both sides of the story. So, we talked to some LSU supporters after the game, and what they told us was shocking. They allege that the referee for that game was not only blind, but also a moron. We talked to many, many football fans that night, and they all said the same thing. If these allegations are true, that puts a whole new perspective on Arkansas's alleged win. Joining us now to discuss the issue is Dr. Thomas Bifocal. He is an ophthalmologist and proprietor of the CUC Laser Eye Surgery Centers. And looking gorgeous as always, Fox News analyst Stephanie Neckline, who is Associate Professor of Psychology at West Texas University. Thank you both for coming on the program.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
To you first, Dr. Bifocal. In your professional opinion, is the referee blind?
Well, firstly, I didn't see the game live. I was shown some video of it a few moments ago. He certainly didn't appear to have any trouble finding his way around. He didn't seem disoriented in any way, and never bumped into any of the players.
So you're saying there's nothing wrong with this guy's vision?
Oh no, you see, there's a big difference between being able to see to get around, and having vision that is sharp enough to referee a football game. There are people who can see well enough not to bump into things, but are still considered legally blind. I couldn't say any more without examining him myself.
So we have no way of knowing that the referee is not legally blind?
I couldn't say for certain that he isn't.
Okay, what about the moron issue? Professor Neckline, isn't it just plain rude and nasty to go calling him a name like a moron?
Not necessarily, Bill. You see, while the word moron is commonly used as a disparaging term, the classical definition of a moron is a person with a mental age of between 8 and 12, or someone with an IQ somewhere between 50 and 70.
So instead of being used as a term of abuse, the LSU fans could have been offering an objective assessment of his mental capacity.
It's entirely conceivable, yes.
Dr. Bifocal, is there any connection between low intelligence and poor eyesight?
I certainly haven't come across any.
You've never had any patients who are mentally impaired?
Oh no, I certainly treated patients who also have some kind of intellectual disability, but there's no connection between the two.
Well, it sure sounds like a connection to me. Stephanie, why do you think the liberal media hasn't followed this story?
Well, I think it's obvious, Bill. It's well known that most reporters support Arkansas over LSU. Something like 80%. They've got the result they wanted to get, so that's all they're going to talk about.
Well, I think you've hit the nail on the head there. The media elites just hate LSU, and that's all there is to it.
Well, hate is a strong word.
Yes, it is. Dr. Bifocal, does the media want LSU to lose?
Well, I wouldn't characterize it in that way.
That's all right, you no longer have to. But what I want to know is, what does it say about America when these far-left colleges, and they're all liberal pinheads at those places, are so hung up on political correctness that they will even let a mentally handicapped blind man referee a football game?
Well, we don't know for certain that he is either of those things.
Well, we don't know that he isn't. Half the people at the game said he is. Stephanie, you have the nicest cleavage here. I'll give you the last word.
I think what this proves is that the scoreboard doesn't tell you the whole story.
It certainly doesn't. That's why we're here. Thank you both for joining us.
It's what you pay me for.
Thanks for the plug.
For the record, we contacted the referee and invited him to come on De Facto to tell his side of the story. His one-line response was, and I quote, "Don't be so ridiculous." You think this is ridiculous, sir? Well, what are you afraid of? This is one referee who has a lot of explaining to do. Coming up on De Facto, how to tell if your neighbor hates America, and more gratuitous spring break footage.
Coming up on BBC One, it's The Eccentric Old Busybody. This week, The Eccentric Old Busybody is having a quiet weekend in the country when, much to everyone's surprise, a murder is committed. But that's no problem for The Eccentric Old Busybody, who manages to show the local plot a thing or two about solving crimes while always remaining both delightfully annoying and annoyingly delightful. This week's guest stars include the bloke from Minder, the mad one from The Vicar of Dibley, and bugger me, I thought he was dead. That's followed at 10:25 by the news at 10.
Dear Mr. McCartney, please read this. I am not a nut, although I'm generally a lot less hairy once I've had my breakfast. I just wanted to thank you for everything you have personally done for me. You have visited me in my sleep many times, whispered words of comfort and encouragement into my ear, and then disappeared back out of the window from whence you came, leaving a haze of smoke and coloured light in your wake. Although I imagine that you do this for all your fans, telling me that I'm sweet and cuddly in that lovely Liverpudlian lilt of yours makes me feel wonderful. Thank you. I also wanted to genuinely thank you for the effect your music has had on my life. I have a radio inside my brain which plays Mamounia constantly. I sometimes sing along in the supermarket, which used to scare the younger children, but now they're used to me and they join in while skipping behind. It's quite touching. You'd like it, I'm sure. I had my first kiss to silly love songs. It was a moving experience for me, but the Alsatian seemed unimpressed. We eventually split up because Elaine disagreed that wildlife was an important piece of work. She kept on calling it rough. She said that a lot. I asked her how she was feeling. She said, rough. I asked her what she thought of wildlife as a whole. She insisted it was rough. Now you can understand, Mr. McCartney, when you have major artistic differences like that, relationships just cannot continue. Me and Elaine were just like you and John in that respect. I follow your example and eat nothing but vegetables, such as cabbage, potatoes, and beef. I believe that strict vegetarianism is the way of the future, and that the robots who will take over the world will eat nothing but pulses, grains, and chicken-flavoured noodles. They will all be called Paul, and will roam the world wearing kilts, making their own cheese, and meditating regularly whilst thinking of Linda. I must admit that I didn't like your present wife at first, but the more I've seen of Laura, the more I like her. It's a shame about her glass eye, though. Still, if she will run with pencils, that is what she can expect. I will always love you, Paul, physically if you desire, but I am a 56-year-old man with a weight and body odour problem. I will wash if necessary, and you can fulfil any of your desires with me. I don't mind, honest. You can contact me at the Salvation Army Hostel, High Street, Crawley, Sussex. Just ask for Mental Bob and they'll get me from the cupboard under the stairs where I sit. It's full of pictures of you. With much love and adoration, Robert, although you can call me Bob because you're Paul McCartney and I love you.
Are you feeling tired and run down, like life is getting on top of you? If so, why not try smoking? Independent studies have shown that smoking reduces the duration of all known symptoms of life. It also fights the causes of life. That's right, gents, no more pesky sex drive giving you a reason to live. And ladies, you can stop those annoying infants before they start by smoking. Remember, smoking is 100% legal. Why take risks with black market products when smoking is the only government-approved life reduction treatment? You don't even need a prescription. It's your right to do what you want with your body. And remember, if they tax it, it must be good, right? So,
Don't let life get you down any longer than necessary. Start smoking today. Use only as directed. See your doctor if symptoms persist.
Hi, I'm Bic Wannabe, and I'm running for president. Recently, you'll have heard a lot of talk from my opponents about my so-called contradictory voting record and confused policy positions. That's a lot of big words. But my focus groups tell me that what you really want in a president is someone who's strong, patriotic, but also warm and cuddly. That's why I've made this YouTube ad with Santa Claus, Uncle Sam, and Sylvester Stallone. That's Sly's way of saying, vote Wannabe, and we will get to win this time.
Huh?
I'm Bic Wannabe, and I approve this message. That tells you an awful lot about my judgment.
Over the course of this year, you've probably bought and worn a few charity awareness wristbands. Make poverty history, breast cancer, that weird Lance Armstrong thing. But this Christmas, please take a moment to remember the forgotten people, manufacturers of charity awareness ribbons. Silicone wristbands have devastated the ribbon industry. Since wristbands don't wear out the way ribbon does, that $1 you spend in 2005 can have you looking just as self-righteously compassionate today as the day you bought it. Some ribbon producers have become so desperate that they have taken to using what little resources they have left to make ribbons for causes that nobody cares about, like subprime mortgage lenders and the Carlton Football Club. Please show you care. Buy a wrist ribbon and remember the forgotten people.
And now for all the latest headlines, we again cross to Focked News.
State-of-the-art graphics. Loud noises.
More stars and stripes per inch of screen than any other network.
This is America's newsroom. Focked News. If you want fair and balanced,
then get fucked.
Hi, I'm Bill O'Reilly. Thank you for watching, and Merry Christmas. That's right, I said Merry Christmas. There's no war on Christmas here at Focked News. We don't go for that secular progressive happy holiday stuff. We say Merry Christmas. There, I said it again. Merry Christmas. What are you going to do about it, huh? You want a piece of me? You want a piece of O'Reilly? Well, I have got 24-hour security just waiting to kick your ass on my personal behalf. Because I am the culture warrior. So do your worst, you secular progressive filth. This is a Judeo-Christian country built on Judeo-Christian values, and Judeo-Christians celebrate Christmas with Santa Claus and Christmas trees and all-night shopping, just like it says in the Bible. The real Bible, not your politically correct, secular progressive Kwanzaa version of it. So stick that in your medical marijuana pipe and smoke it. You don't mess with the season of goodwill, not on my watch, pal. So take your happy holiday crap and shove it, and have a Merry Christmas, you stinking punks!
Well, there's a pigeon with only one foot, and he's hopping around. Well, there's a pigeon with only one foot, and he's just hopping around. Well, there's a pigeon with only one foot, he's just hopping around. There's a pigeon with only one foot, and he's hopping around. There's a pigeon with only one foot, he's just hopping around. There's a pigeon with only one foot, he's just hopping around and around and around and around. It's plain to see, the pigeon is looking for Jesus. You should all be looking for Jesus beside that pigeon. We should all be hopping around looking for Jesus. Hopping around and around and around. There's a pigeon with only one foot. He's just hopping around. There's a pigeon. pigeon with only one foot. He's just hopping around as a pigeon with only one foot. He's just hopping around and around and around and around for Jesus.
Paul, you've been one of the most famous people in the world for nearly 45 years, and we know so much about you already. I was hoping we could talk about some of the things that don't come up so often. So, would you describe your pubes as curly or straight?
I haven't really got an answer for that.
Okay, well, you've made it clear that you dye your hair. Does the carpet match the curtains, so to speak?
Sorry, I don't understand that question. Next.
Well, something that has come up on the boards a lot is boxers or briefs.
I don't know the answer to that question. The answer to that question, I don't know. Sorry.
Being a left-hander, you play guitar the other way around. Have you ever thought about learning to play properly?
Play a song? Why should I?
Well, no reason.
No, I'm not going to play music. I'm sulking. No, I don't have to. It's a new TV show.
It's a podcast, actually. It's a kind of internet radio show.
Yeah, okay. Why not?
Okay then, thank you.
Here's one I prepared earlier. Song, any song? Okay. How about we go right back to... Eddie Cochran, 1950s, 25 Rock. Ooh, and I got a girl with a record machine. When it comes to rocking, she's a queen. Won't you dance on Saturday night? All alone, I can hold her tight. She lives on the 20th floor of town. The elevator's broken down. But I walk, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 12 and I'm starting to sag. 15 before I'm ready to drive. I'll get you to talk. I'm too down to rock. Well, I called me up on the telephone. Said, come on over, baby, I'm all alone. I said, baby, mighty sweet. But on the bed with the aching feet. All this climbing is getting me down. You find my cup straight over the rail. But I walk. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, I'm starting to sag. 15 before I'm ready to drag. Get to the top, I'm too tired to rock. And if there are any discrepancies in the lyrics there, it is a long time since the 50s. But we do love Eddie Cochran. He was so cool in The Girl Can't Help It. And he used to come over to England and he was on telly. And he did a show called Oh Boy, a very early TV show, produced by Jack Good. And he was fantastic. He was like, he did Milk Cow Blues. Woke up this morning, looked down my door. I could tell old Milk Cow by the way that you want me to be. He did it much better than that. There you go. There's a song.
Well, thank you. You mentioned that the 50s were a long time ago. So were the 60s. Yet 2/3 of your live shows are Beatles songs. Isn't that kind of like saying that you haven't done much of interest since then?
Yeah. On this album, we will be doing a few gigs here and there to kind of support the album. But there isn't a full-blown tour in the works. That may be next year sometime, 2008. But at the moment, not that kind of thing. But there will be some little ones. We're thinking of doing a sort of launch gig in London somewhere. Not sure where yet. Probably in some tent in a park or something. Quite small gigs. Maybe one in New York. There we're hoping it'll be a bit of a street party. And then hopefully one in LA. And then I'll be doing a few little TV shows. So I'll be around and about live, but there won't actually be a tour. That is planned for next year.
Yes, but I was asking about your set lists. Doesn't it sell your wings and solo career short if the majority of your shows are Beatles songs?
A memory from the Beatles days.
No, wings and solo. Days,
we used to travel around in a group van, a Bedford van it was, and we nearly always would come from Liverpool down to somewhere like London and go back again. And this time it was a snowy night. It was a real snowy blizzard on the motorway. And as we were travelling up the motorway, all huddling together to try and keep warm, our van slid off the side of the motorway and went down a little bank and sort of landed at the bottom. But there was no way we were going to get back up. Couldn't drive it back up in the snow. And so we were just at the bottom of this little bank covered in snow and thinking, what are we going to do? And one of us, I can't remember who, one of us said, don't worry, something will happen. And that became like a really great phrase for us in the Beatles. Don't worry, something will happen. And sure enough, it did. And throughout my life, I've used that phrase, you know, don't worry, something will happen. And this night, we ended up hitching a ride off a lorry driver, a truck driver, who was going up north, and we all thumbed him down. And he gave us a lift, and we got back up to Liverpool. So remember, don't worry, something will happen.
Do you ever see Denny at all?
I'm sorry, I don't understand that question. Next.
Denny Lane from Wings. Do you ever speak to him these days?
That's a silly question, and I can't answer that.
Why is that silly? He was in Wings for the duration.
Hi, Paul McCartney here. If you want to ask me any questions, now's your chance. Ask me questions.
I was trying, but I guess that's a dead end. Okay, who would win a fight between Stella and Heather?
I don't know. I don't know the answer.
Fair enough. Finally, you played us an old song. Could you play us a song from the new album?
New album was produced by David Kahn. I tried to help a little bit, so kind of the both of us, but David was the producer on the album. I worked with him first of all when I did the album Driving Rain, and now on Memory Almost Full. David Kahn, remember that name?
I'll take that as a no. Paul, thank you very much for talking to us.
I don't know the answer to that question.
Oh, shut up!
The answer to that question.
And now it's time to open the media bias files. Something that wasn't reported quite as widely as, oh, say, the Dixie Chicks, was a tirade by everyone's favourite sociopath, Ted Nugent. A couple of weeks ago, he entertained his fans with... Wait a minute. Ted Nugent has fans? Who knew? Anyway, he went striding around the stage brandishing what appeared to be a pair of machine guns. I'll spare you the actual audio, but he said, among other things... Hey Obama, you might want to suck one of these, you punk. He's a worthless piece of shit. He went on, Hey Hillary, you might want to ride one of these into the sunset, you worthless bitch. Barbara Boxer might want to suck on my machine gun. Now we all know that it's only the bomb throwers in the mainstream media that defend such hate speak and give it a platform. So you would expect the fair and balanced Sean Hannity to condemn Nugent in no uncertain terms.
I like Ted Nugent, he's a friend of mine.
You do? Oh dear. Well, with friends like that, who needs enemies of the state? Evidently Sean Hannity, in defending hate speak, is a liberal bomb thrower. Now here's my question. As presidential candidates... Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton have security from the US Secret Service. So what I'd like to know is if Mr. Nugent received a visit from the Secret Service just like those kids with the MySpace page did. Place your bets. But with Nugent being so gung-ho, you might wonder where he was in the early 70s, because Ted Nugent was of military age during Vietnam. So why wasn't he called up? Well... He was, but he got a deferment. Do you know how he got his deferment? It was nothing as sophisticated as Cheney's. According to the Chicago Sun-Times, Ted Nugent got his deferment by stopping all forms of personal hygiene for a month and showing up for his draft board physical in pants caked with his own urine and feces. Now that's rugged. John Kerry, he's a pussy. But it takes a man's man to shit himself when asked to serve his country and not care who knows it. Now don't get me wrong, I don't blame anyone for not wanting to go to war. Lord knows I don't want to. But I'm not the one saying others should. Still, that's Ted Nugent for you. Rock and roll gunslinger, friend of the Republican Party, friend of Sean Hannity. What a fucking tool.
And you can't half tell that Jeff Lynne produced that track, can you? Now, far be it from me to suggest that Jeff Lynne has a somewhat samey production style, so you be the judge.
New in 08 on BBC Two, it's a brand new series of Quirky English Village. A new doctor has arrived in the Quirky English Village, and he quickly discovers that it's a lot different to treating patients in the Big Smoke. How will he cope with the spinster twins, the dyslexic vicar, the oversexed barmaid, and the retired police sergeant who thinks he's Winston Churchill? Find out in the delightful new series of Quirky English Village. That's followed at 9 by all new episodes of Whinging Poms. And is there ever a lot to whinge about this year?
Duh, New Year's Eve, it's all bollocks, isn't it? Oh joy, it's midnight. Oh bliss, Big Ben is chiming. It happens every bloody night. Get in out of the cold, you daft twats. I mean, if I don't enjoy it, why should anyone else have any fun?
But it's not just the blokes doing the whinging this time. The ladies get in for their fair share.
I've had worse press than a paedophile or a murderer, and I've done nothing but charity for 20 years.
Whoa, it's going to be a busy time for the Whinging Poms. New this year on the BBC, and next year on the ABC.
The Mayor of New Orleans, Ray Nagin, has announced that he's running for president. Mayor Nagin, or Willy Wonka, as he's known to some residents of the Chocolate City, has announced that he is running on a platform of Katrina changed everything. Some people have pointed out that that isn't actually a policy and that Nagin has no federal experience, let alone foreign policy experience. Nagin responded that the lessons of Katrina are that we have to look after our own first. He accused his critics of living in a pre-Katrina world with a pre-Katrina mindset. Republican candidate Rudolph Giuliani dismissed Nagin's comments and indeed his very candidacy as gratuitous, vulgar and opportunistic. In a press statement, Giuliani said, "It beggars belief that any decent person would so blatantly exploit a national tragedy for his own personal political gain and that anyone would take him seriously for it." P.S. 9/11. That's all a complete lie, of course, but hey, you must be used to that by now. Alright, that's the Gunners, Live and Let Die. You're back on DAG FM, all the hits from the 70s, 80s and very early 90s. And hey, is Axl Rose ever going to finish that Chinese Democracy album? Let's hope not, and we can still say we're playing their latest album. Here's a reminder about our DAG FM Ultimate DAG Day competition, where you can win a trip for two to Bali with $1,000 spending money. All you have to do is keep listening to DAG FM, and if you hear us play Hotel California by the Eagles only once in an hour instead of the usual twice, be the 69th caller through on 1-800-DAG-FM and you'll go into the draw for the trip to Bali. Plus, every caller that makes it through wins a free consultation from Rodney's House of Hair Restoration and Erectile Dysfunction Clinic. That'll put lead in your pencils, blokes. All the more reason to keep listening to DAG FM, all the sounds of before you let yourself go. Hey, here's one we haven't heard for a few days. Now, in our show dedicated to pure drivel, we have been focusing mainly on pieces from the late 60s, unsurprisingly. But I'd like to get topical for just a moment, because last week, the senator from New York, Junior, came out with a piece of top-shelf drivel.
Will you continue to take money from lobbyists?
Yes,
will you take
I will.
His position?
I will. Those lobbyists, whether you like it or not, represent real Americans. They actually do. They represent nurses. They represent, you know, social workers.
Oh, really? Pardon me, Hillary, but I thought representing the American people was your job, and one that you are already being paid for. Never mind consulting with the people, Hillary's going to go straight to the lobbyists and let the conversation begin. Oh, but don't worry, because
I don't think, based on my 35 years of fighting for what I believe in, anybody seriously believes I'm going to be influenced by a lobbyist or a particular interest group. Now, you know,
all right.
So, vote Clinton for all the representation money can buy, which you'll then ignore. Makes sense to me. While we're on the subject, here's a quick one from the Media Bias Files. We all know there has been no more staunch supporter come defender of the invasion of Iraq than Vice President Dick Cheney. But what have the media been playing this week? They've been playing this statement from that left-wing bomb thrower, former Secretary of Defense, Dick Cheney.
If we'd gone to Baghdad, we would have been all alone. There wouldn't have been anybody else with us. It would have been a U.S. occupation of Iraq. None of the Arab forces that were willing to fight with us in Kuwait were willing to invade Iraq. Once you got to Iraq and took it over and took down Saddam Hussein's government, then what are you going to put in its place? That's a very volatile part of the world, and if you take down the central government in Iraq, you can easily end up seeing pieces of Iraq fly off, part of it the Syrians would like to have to the west, part of eastern Iraq the Iranians would like to claim, fought over for 8 years. In the north, you've got the Kurds, and if the Kurds spin loose and join with the Kurds in Turkey, then you threaten the territorial integrity of Turkey. It's a quagmire if you go that far and try to take over Iraq. The other thing was casualties. Everyone was impressed with the fact that we were able to do our job with as few casualties as we had. But for the 146 Americans killed in action and for their families, it wasn't a cheap war. And the question for the president in terms of whether or not we went on to Baghdad and took additional casualties in an effort to get Saddam Hussein was how many additional dead Americans is Saddam worth? And our judgment was not very many, and I think we got it right.
Oh, Dick, Dick, Dick. How defeatist is that? And what more evidence do you need of how biased the mainstream media are when even a great patriot like Dick Cheney ends up sounding like some lily-livered defeatocrat when played back through the media filter? If my comments have represented anyone else's views, does that mean I have to buy Hillary lunch?
It's 3 a.m. and your children are asleep, clutching their cute fluffy teddy bears to their tender little hearts, dreaming their sweet, innocent dreams about little colored ponies that talk to them. But somewhere in the world, something is happening. Somewhere in the White House, a phone is ringing. Who do you want to pick up the phone when the call comes through that says,
"Is Seymour there? Last name, Butts."
I'm Hillary Clinton, and I want to see more butts.
Hi, me too.
Shut up, Bill. You've caused enough trouble already.
I was just trying to help, honey.
Coming soon to a medium-sized venue near you, it's the all-new lineup of Ringo Starr and the Also-Rans. This year, Ringo is joined by Richard Marx, Kurt Smith, Nick Kershaw,
Peter Criss, Kirk Pengilly, and bringing a new 90s vibe to the Also-Rans, it's Gary Barlow, Justine Frischman, Sporty Spice, Bonehead, and the Spaceman himself, Jazz Man. This is your only chance this year to see the Also-Rans performing all their hits. It all adds up to a perfectly adequate night's entertainment. Book now to avoid disappointment.
Hello, is that Strawberry Fields Radio? Yes. Firstly, I want to make it clear that I am not touching myself. Now, I want to make a complaint that you don't play any records by popular artists like the Bay City Rollers, Jean-Michel Jarre, or Boney M. And I have to ask you, Bill, or whatever your name is, why don't you ever treat your listeners to something decent? Why this insistence on playing stuff that no bugger cares about anymore? I mean, the Beatles broke up nearly 40 years ago. Get over it. Also, why do you always present the program in Australian accent? It's very annoying. Pull your finger out, mate, and get some decent music on the airwaves. And please, for God's sake, stop being Australian. Long live Her Majesty the Queen. And I am still not touching myself. Now I am.
Next, on The Sopranos. Will Tony whack Paulie? Will Paulie whack Tony? Will AJ whack himself? Will anyone drop the C-bomb this week? Or will they all just waste another hour of your life doing fuck all? Find out on the finale of the show that's more Seinfeld than Goodfellas. The Sopranos on HBO. You pay extra for this crap? Now that's organized crime. In the tradition of Freddy vs. Jason and Alien vs. Predator comes the ultimate mashup movie. Rocky vs. Rambo. They've both fought the odds. They've both fought their inner demons. They've both fought for their country. But when a TV computer simulation suggests that Rocky's victory over Drago in 1984 did more to defeat communism than John Rambo's covert operations in Asia, Rambo snaps, and he vows to hunt down the man who has stolen his glory, his fame, and even his face. Who will draw first blood in Rocky vs. Rambo?
And if you can't get enough of recycled 80s movie franchises, then you're going to love the all-new Police Academy 29. Steve Guttenberg, Michael Winslow, Bubba Smith, and all the original cast are back, but the former students are now the teachers. How are they going to deal with a bunch of raw recruits who are even worse than they were? Find out in Police Academy 29. Welcome back, coppers.
Hi, Bill. This is Smooth Arthur Colostomy here. I was just wondering why you don't have any jazz on your show. I thought I'd give your show some culture and, you know, some finesse. So here's a piece entitled My Wife is a Carrot. Thank you.
Now, while we're playing covers of Paul McCartney songs, we should also recognise the almost McCartney covers. You know the ones I mean. There's this. Take these broken wings and learn to fly again. Learn to live so free. And also this. Does that sound familiar? I mean, TLC did a lovely song, but if you're going to cover Waterfalls, at least be honest about it. All new on Channel 4, it's Ramsay's Rules on the Road, where celebrity chef and professional prick Gordon Ramsay brings his unique people skills to some groups that sorely need a kick up the pants. First up is Ramsay's Little League. What the fuck were you thinking? You weren't even looking at the ball! I know you're only seven, but being only seven doesn't keep the ball out of the fucking net now, does it? If this costs me my place in the league table, I will see to it that you never play football again.
Then it's on to Ramsay's Abbey.
Oh, for fuck's sake, you call this a prayer? This is atrocious. If I were God, I would have turned over to old reruns of Jimmy Swaggart by now. Look, either shape up or get the fuck out of my monastery.
Nothing sacred in Ramsay's Westminster.
Look, there's no point in blubbing about it, is there? I've already cut you some slack because you've got a nice name. But I don't want to hear any more of this, I'm the Prime Minister, you have to respect me crap, alright? You earn my respect. And how many elections have you won, That's right, none. Any more of this bollocks and I'm calling a no-confidence motion. I mean it.
But has Gordon met his match in Ramsay's bondage dungeon?
Oh, is this some kind of fucking joke?
Oh, yes.
You fuckwits are going to cost me my fourth Razzle Star.
Oh, chastise me, Gordon.
I am sick to death of carrying you.
Call me a fuckwit again.
Don't take the piss with me, Sunshine. I have had it up to... Oh, this is no fun.
That's it for the Best of Strawberry Fields Radio Part 2, The Bullshit. Next week... all new crap. This podcast has been brought to you by Recycling.
Hey, you said that last week, didn't
you? Strawberry feels forever. Strawberry feels forever.
I suppose you think that's funny.